Okay, so we're gonna do a medrash that Ayala asked me about, Ayala Cohen, last week. So it's sort of there's a Rashi, but it's a more elaborate version of it in medrash Tanchuma. Okay, and basically, it has to do with, I guess, the fact that the Jews are allowed to, are not allowed to eat treif, but goyim are allowed to eat treif, right? So why that is? Okay. So I'll read the medrash. It's kind of interesting. There are questions on it. I sent it by email, so if you want to look at it, I sent it to the group. I'm not sure. Yeah, you're not on that list, are you? Okay, you can send it. You have our email. If you want, you can look in the thing. Okay. Okay. So this is like this. It's basically it's a medrash Tanchuma in Shmini Simen Vav, I guess. So that's Ayala found it on the on Safari and sent it to me. So it says, okay, so basically it's this is the beginning of the end of Shemini is where it talks about the halachas of eating kosher and not eating treif. So this is the animals that you should eat. Zash Amar Kasav. Okay, it's this is what the pasuk means. Amad Vayimodid Eretz Ra'a Vayater Goyim. So it means Hashem stood up and he like measured the earth. And he saw, and he, I guess, gave a permit to the guy. Okay, so what's it talking about? So, I forget the plain shot. I don't think this is plain shot, but this is what the measure sort of learns the pasuk. Mahu amad bei mozera. So, what does it mean? He stood up and he measured the earth. So, it's at the time when Hashem wanted to give the Torah to the Jews, amaru madara saaretz. Benasan haTorah v'mirafaretz. So, Hashem measured the earth. And he gave the Torah in the desert in public, the Farhasya, in a very public manner. The Kach Kasev Amar Bimodid Eretz. That's why it's saying, that's why it means he stood up and he measured the earth. Why? Shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahasir Es HaOlam LeMedidas Meimav. Because Hashem wanted to return the world to its measurement of its water. Shenemar Mimodad B'Shalomayim. So I don't know exactly what that means, but it's like he wanted to return it, to like flood it. I guess there's an exact measurement of water, how much water there should be, and we don't drown. And it's like at the time that he gave the, he wanted to return the land to its proper amount of water. One second. He was going to do that. And once the Jew, the rest of the nation of the world did not accept the Torah, the world was going to go back to this, I guess, the high level of water and be drowned. If not for the fact that the Jews accepted the Torah. And they said, whatever Hashem spoke, we will do. Okay? So it sounds like the world was going to be, Hashem was planning to, so to speak, drown the world when the world, the nations of the world didn't accept the Torah. And the Jews came and accepted the Torah. The Kivan Shekibluah, and once they accepted it, Shakar Olam. The world was tranquil. Okay, it rested. Shenemar Eretz V'yara V'shaka. The world was like fear or saw, and it was tranquil. V'misham Notlu Agayim Apofsim. And from that point, the Goyim had a, they were vindicated, they were off the hook. He saw, and he permitted it to the Goyim. What does it mean, permitted it to the Goyim? Rabbi Tachum and Chani Loyomar, Hitir Lahem Isurim, Es Hashkotzim, Es Aramasim. He allowed them to eat Isurim, Treif, and to eat these creepies and crawlies, right? Mashal Mahadavadamar, what's the Mashal compared to? L'rofe Shehalach L'vakir Shnechom. So it's a sick person, I'm sorry, a doctor, who went to heal two, or to visit two sick people. One of the sick people is in Sakana. Amar Levneveso. Tenulo kol maichel shavakish, give him whatever he wants to eat. You gotta give him anything. Raha achad she'asid luchios. He saw another one who was gonna live. Amar lehem, kach v'kach maichel yochel, kach v'kach lo yochel. Let him eat so and so, and let him not eat so and so. Aye. Okay? Happy you made it. Tom, you know what we're doing, right? Your question.
My question?
Yeah. Okay. So, Lizah, so it says, Amru L'Rofei, Maza, What's the deal? To this one you're saying eat everything that you want. Another one you're saying you can't eat this. Why are you giving this unfair treatment? Why does he get to eat everything and I don't get to eat anything? I sent it to email, so it's an email. Okay, so it says, Amar lahem harofe, right? Everyone with me? Okay, so the doctor answered, Lezeshu lechayim, this guy who's going to live, Amarti lo zeachol. I said, lo tochol, the one who's going to live, I said, hey, eat this, don't eat that. You got to keep a healthy diet. Avaloso shula misa, but the one who's dying, who's going to die, Amarti lahem, kol mashim mevakesh, tenu lo shein lechayim, I was looking for anything, he's not going to live anyways. At least still enjoy whatever. The Kachakosh Baruch Hu, he tell a guy mashkatz and aramasim. So too Hashem permitted to the goyim these creepies and crawlies. Yisrael Hashem l'chayim, but the Jews who are for life l'chayim are malam v'isam kedoshim ki kedoshani. Al teshaisus nashal seichem esa tochlu v'esa lo tochelu lo sitamu b'hem v'nemesim am all these different halachos. Eat this, don't eat that, don't make yourself disgusting, don't make yourself tame, don't make you tame, all these rules, right? Lama, why? Shehem l'chayim, because they're for life. Shnev v'atev ma'dvekim Hashem alokeichem l'chayim kilchem hayom. Right? You are clinging to Hashem, you're all alive today. Havei amar v'yimodet haaretz ra'a v'yatakai. So that explains what it means, that he saw, he stood up and he was measuring the land, and he was gonna, right? And then he saw, and he permitted the guy. Yeah.
There's a tiny question just on the translation here. Is it that the goyim were very, very sick so they could have anything to help them, or they were going to die?
No, they're going to die. So it sounds like it's saying is might as well eat whatever you want. Since they're going to die anyways, might as well let them enjoy the shkatzim and the ramasim and the treif and the whatever. But the Jews who are for life, who are going to live, so you don't want to let them just eat anything, it's not going to be good for them. Right? Okay. So, that is the Medrash. So, the questions that y'all had were twofold.
Yeah.
First of all,
it seems like the idea would be that if, you know, everybody should keep kosher.
Right. Seems a given in theory everyone should be keeping kosher.
If it's something that's supposed to be good for a person,
right,
in whatever way, physically, spiritually, whatever it is, it should be like, you know, there shouldn't be a distinction. Everybody should be ideally keeping kosher.
Right. Right. So therefore you mean, you're asking why is it that they don't have to? I mean, this measure is just somehow trying to explain it, but you're saying you don't quite get it.
Right.
Okay. I mean, if it's good, then why isn't everybody doing it?
Right? They have mitzvahs.
They have a shev mitzvah, you know, true. Mm-hmm. Right, so seemingly this is trying to explain why they don't, right? That's kind of the question which is bothering this medrash. I'm somehow trying to explain it with this mashal and this whole thing, right?
What does it mean they're going to die?
That's a good question. What does it mean they're going to die? It seems like that's it. Gaim are doomed. Right? That's what I think. This was interesting. I was happy that you found this medrash. That's why I think it was important to find. Because the way when you originally had heard the story, I don't know if you heard the beginning part of it, but it sounds like a racist type of medrash. It's like totally against Goyim. Goyim are going to die. That's it. Who cares about them, you know? But, I mean, we have to understand it, but the backstory is relevant. It's not who cares about them. No, God wanted to give them the Torah, but they refused it, and therefore he's going to destroy the world, and then the Jews came and saved the day, so to speak. Right, now we have to understand what that means. That he, I mean, there are midrashim like that, right? Hashem went around and gave the Torah. It's based on a psukim, I think, in Zosa Bracha, where it says he went and the other nations heard about the Torah, or he went around to the nations and said, "Do you want it? Oh, what's written in it? Oh, Ganev, don't steal. Nah, it's not for us. Oh, what's written in it? Arayos? Oh, not for us. Right? Things like that. So the Jews, when they go to the Jews, they said, "Nasav nishma, kol shadi v'shem nasav nishma." Right? So so that's presumably what it's based upon, right? That type of a thing. So it says he gave this, not like he doesn't care about them, he does care about them, he gave it to them. He gave them a chance, he made it before Asya, he made this big public thing, and he had the world at large, he did it in public on purpose. It was a public phenomenon, which in theory the world at large had access to. But they chose not, and then the story continues. So that's like an interesting, you know, it puts the, you know, we have to understand it, but it does even on a pshat level, it doesn't sound as racist when you hear that part of the story.
But if you ask the typical Gentile today, like, have you been given the option to keep, like, did somebody explain to you what Torah is about, what kashrus is about, and give you the option to keep it?
Right, but if you did give it to him, would he say, oh, definitely. If you'd give your average Jew that option, would he take it?
Probably not, but...
So, and then just say, average Gentile, that's a good question, what... Well, the average guy does have, the Gentile does have the option, because every Gentile knows that Jews are willing to take converts. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to take it and you want to know what it's about, look into it. Mm-hmm. Look on the internet, figure out about what it's about, and it's open. And I don't think anyone says it's a secret that you're allowed to convert into Torah as long as you're willing to accept the Torah mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. Right? But, you know, next person who tells you they think Shabbos is really interesting, tell them, hey, you know, if you want, it's you could convert and join this up and follow. You know, but probably they'll say something like in the Medrash. Right? What does it say in it? Oh, you can't blank? Oh, sounds, it's nice to admire from afar, but... Mm-hmm. So it's true, they may not have quite had the... given the option, but they kind of have been. And I think that's what it means, it was given in public. I don't think it necessarily... I mean, the mashal, I don't know if it necessarily means he literally went to them and said, hey, do you want to accept the Torah? Like, the way the Medrash depicts it. But the Torah was given before Hesia. It was given in public. It was a massive... revelation, it was known about, the world knew about it. The world could have responded by saying, wow, this is unbelievable, we want to join up with Klal Yisrael, this is a great mission they're on. This is truth, the Borei Olam himself reveals himself, gives a way of life, teach us, what's the deal, can we get in on this? But what did they respond? They were totally, Amalek came and attacked us, although the nation said, don't let us cross into our land, right? There was not, it wasn't a warm welcome, they knew what it was, and they turned it down, they weren't interested. And presumably, if God would have given it to them, they would have said no because of these things, because of Gnev and this and that and the other thing, right? Okay. And so was there another question that you had? I forgot, did we just do both of them?
Well, the other question was also like what you just touched on about racism and how is it that, you know, just being born to a non-Jewish mother,
yes,
just means you're doomed to whatever. You're so deathly ill that means that you're not worth giving any mitzvah of kashrus.
Yes, right, sure. And it touches on the general question about the role of the Jew and the non-Jew. Why isn't everyone Jew? Why doesn't everyone have the Torah? Like, what's the nature of the Torah? Is like an interesting thing going on here. Like, do you have a chosen nation? Why is there a chosen nation? Why isn't everybody just a chosen world? You know. Like, it kind of touches on big issues. Mm-hmm. What did we do last week? I feel like it kind of touched on it somehow. But it came up, sort of.
The Jews being, like,
right.
This is the reason for the system of
the Mitzvahs. Oh, you're chayav mitzvahs. Why you're chayav mitzvahs to maintain the Mesorah, right? The reason why you're chayav mitzvahs is not for your own good. That wouldn't have been a chovah. But the chayav mitzvahs because the world needs to have access to the God, right? What was it about?
It was about
the negotiation. Oh, yeah, the Mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, that whole thing. Yeah, okay, so this is kind of related, I think, because that's talking about why we're chayav in the Torah and for the world and all that, and this is kind of, that's what he brought up, but what about the other nations and what exactly is their place in the world and the Torah system and the whole worldview of the Torah, right? It's like a related topic. That's why it was a good question, and I thought it's kind of maybe help us expand on. It's a good question in general. It's like a very important question about how we look at the world, how we look at the nations of the world, how we look at our place in the world, how we treat other nations, how we, you know, that kind of thing.
It's also a question that I have that's been in the back of my mind because one of the things that's most, like, glaring whenever I'm socializing with non-Jews is always the kashrus issue.
Right.
That always becomes the thing that differentiates whenever I'm sitting with people, you know, in a work environment. It's always like, oh, do you want to go out with us? Or we're having a group meeting at the restaurant or whatever, you know?
Right, I understand.
Right. It's not like I'm with them on Shabbos. So
Yeah. Okay, good. So, any other questions on this thing? I mean, it's a funny thing altogether. He's going to drown the whole world. Like, what's the import of this whole thing, right? And the world, and it is tranquil once the Jews accepted it.
The beginning part was that these are what you can eat, is that Hashem surveyed the land and was going to drown everybody except that the Jews accepted the Torah and then...
Right.
I'm just working backwards.
Yes.
I got the part with the birthday. Okay?
Yes, that's how it starts. It starts out, they just quote in the pasuk, which it's on. That's why, that was Shemosh HaZeras. Okay, that's like the introduction to the parasha about the Jews eating kosher and stuff. So now it's like kind of, this is putting in context that idea of why the Jews are, you know, commanded to eat kosher and not the Goyim. So it's giving a backstory. Okay. So Zeras HaMarkos is tying into this pasuk, interpreting what this pasuk means, that he stood and measured the earth, and he saw and, you know, exempted the guy. Okay, so let's think. So what should be our approach here? How should we attempt to get some insight? So what? How many parts are there to this whole Medrash, would you say?
There's like
3
parts.
So that's a vague question, right? How many parts are that? I see 2 parts, at least. I don't know, maybe you can subdivide and whatever. But, I mean, there's the beginning part, which is that this whole thing about drowning the whole world, and the Jews, you know, the guy not accepting it, the Jews accepting it, right? Whatever that is, and then the world is tranquil. And then that's somehow an intro to this mashal, and to the fact that this is an explanation of why the Jews are committed to eating kosher and not the Goyim, we're using the mashal, so I guess you could subdivide that, but right? So there's like the backstory about drowning the whole world and saving it for the Jews, and then they're not unrelated, but that's somehow trying to justify this idea of the discrepancy in the commandments to the Jews versus the non-Jews, right? So... I guess we could take one or the other. Which one would be wise to take first, do you think?
The first part saying that the world's going to be flooded because the Jews accepted the Torah and the whole world is saved?
Yes. The world's going to be flooded because the nations weren't, the world were not going to accept the Torah. Okay. So therefore God was going to bring it back to the, you know, ground zero. But then, since then, if not the Jews accepted the Torah, then... the world was tranquil, and God, you know. But then, once it was tranquil, then he now exempted the Goyim from keeping the Torah. But it's almost like, as Oyel's observation is true, it's like almost like prior to that, it's like the world at large should have been taking the Torah, accepting it, and God was upset that they weren't. But now the Jews did, and now all of a sudden, also now that the Goyim don't have to. So I guess he gets Manashah, are the Goyim supposed to be keeping it, or they're not supposed to be keeping it? Seems like originally he was upset that they weren't keeping it, but now it's just taken. Now the maybe it's Mat theory is permitting the guy. Well, which one is it? Should they be doing it or should they not be doing it? If they should have been doing it then, they should be doing it now. Right?
So it seems like the fact that there was at least one nation that accepted the Torah made it worthwhile to keep the world going.
Yes.
And so. Then you can infer that not everybody needs to keep the Torah for the world to exist. Mm-hmm. But that still doesn't answer the question of whether it's a good idea for everybody to keep kashrus.
Mm-hmm.
For their, you know, for right. their own perfection, for the elevation of humanity.
Right. Okay, so why don't we start with the first part? I mean, that's what I think why it's relevant. I think it's a good idea to split up the 2 parts, right? And in theory, the first part comes first, so I guess it's worth analyzing first. The only reason I might think to analyze the second part first is because the mashal seems somewhat understandable. So maybe we could kind of get some insight via the mashal. But I think in general, it's, you know, there's different ways to go here. But why don't we try to start at the beginning? right? Because the second part really is a continuation of the first part. It rests upon the first part. So why don't we try to analyze the first part? And that would be my, you know, game plan. And if you were doing this and you can't get anywhere with the first part, then it might be wise to use the mashal, because mishalim are designed to somehow make contact with something that you already understand. And that makes it easy. That's the point of a mashal. So, you know, that's why you ever give a mashal. So it's trying to make it easier for you to understand, to give me something that you can relate to. So it's a good tool to actually try to see, well, what's the idea of the mashal, and then carry it over to the nimshal. But still, that's the second part here. So I would think, I think it's always helpful to go start from the beginning, unless you can't get anywhere. And if something happens, well then, you know, you go backwards or whatever, you know? Alright, so I guess, so what's this beginning thing, right? He was going to destroy the world, right? He wanted to give the Torah in public, and no one wanted it. So he's going to destroy the world. So why is that? I guess, why is that? And then why was it, what else? Why is it that he didn't once? Yeah.
Does the wording of the Medrash matter? I'm definitely not able to follow. I'm not getting, like, the lesson of what's being said here. Does that matter? I'm just asking, like,
methodologically. I don't get it either, exactly. But, I mean, Vaimodid Eretz, I mean, the way they translate it here, one second.
Isn't it just trying to attach it to Pesukim, like from Yeshaya and Chalavim?
Yes. I mean, it is, but sometimes, yeah, sometimes it's just like trying to find some loose attachment. Sometimes there's actually some insight. I mean, but the plain shot, I mean, the Medrash isn't united in plain shot either, but...
It seems like it's a metaphor for the whole world was like in turmoil almost. Like, the waters wanted to cover the land because they were so upset that there wasn't anybody stepping up to keep the Torah.
Right.
And then as soon as as soon as they said Na'aseh v'nishma, quiet, you know, like everything calmed down.
Right.
That, to me, like, that's the image I get from the way it's describing it.
Right, and so
it's just like...
Like this, l'chatsiyas ha'olam l'medidas neymav, is that like talking about like the mahol? Like,
I think so.
Relating it to,
I think so,
like,
because the flame shot and the way that Rashi learns and the Medrash seems to learn, it means it's referring to the mahol. He saw and he, like, drowned the world. And then he caused the nations to wander and the Darhat Flaga. It's like, yeah, so I guess it's saying is the plame shot. That's not clear what plame shot is. It's a vague pasuk. But I mean, that's what Rashi says. He was like, he saw and he was judging the Darhat Mabel, punish them in line with their sins. And he was like, medaktik, in the measuring of their judgment. And then he punished them. Eimodet Aratz. He like destroyed them with the Mida Keneged Mida. That they sinned with, I don't know, whatever. And then it's like talking about the din of the Dar Mabel. But I think the way the Medrash here is interpreting it is that he's somehow doing that or returning to that fate at the time of Matan Torah. And then he's mocked, you know. It's a drash on that, you know? It's Gili, Zia, Ara, Bulalanda, Darwin. Yeah, that's the way the Tirgun translates it. He revealed himself and the ground, like, sweat, so to speak, and a flood came on the nation and the generation that went against his word. And then the second time when they sinned, then he spread out the nations, right? And by the Dara Flaga. So that's, I think, the plame shot. Talking about the din of the Dara Mabel. Or I don't know plame shot, but a plame shot.
And that din was coming back, like.
Yeah, that's what this Medrash is doing. Is trying to make a connection that din, when he measured it out, it means he wanted to do it. He stood up and he was gonna do that again. But he didn't. and then after he didn't, it was because the Jews accepted the Torah, and then Rabbi Yatar Gaim, he saw the Jews accepted the Torah, and then he permitted the nations of the world not to eat kosher and whatever. It's strange. It's a strange.
Why does it bring this medrash for the pasuk? I understand that obviously the mashal that it brings in the medrash because that has to do directly with the zos ha'ai asher tochlu. But why does it bring the medrash of the earth almost being destroyed and covered in water?
Or well, presumably, pasuk? Well, it's trying to justify why it is zos ha'ai asher tochlu. Why is it that the Jews have this mitzvah and not the guy? And it's justifying it based upon this story about the cause. Well, we don't understand yet how, but somehow because of that incident, and God wanted to destroy the world and Him not doing it for the Jews, from that emerged that He permitted the guy in having it. Right? So we can't answer fully, but that seems to be the connection. Right?
Why would it be enough, like just the Jews to keep, like, to start keeping Torah, just like save everyone? Like, the Jews started keeping Torah and Hashem saved the whole world.
Yeah.
Why would that be enough?
Why would that be enough?
Yeah, like, why would that be enough to save everyone?
That's a good question. Why is it a good question? If He was going to destroy them, so destroy them and save the Jews. Like, by Marvel and Noah, He destroyed the whole world because they were sinners, and He saved Noah. So do the same thing here. They don't want to save the Torah, destroy them. The Jews say, we are not sinners. Well, fine, save the Jews.
It's not that they were sinners, they just didn't want to accept the Torah. So
okay, it's true. It's not they weren't as...
They'd still be righteous without taking on the 613 mitzvahs.
Yes, or certainly not as bad as the Mabel, right? It's not their Mabel, their din was, their Chalai Malai Haras Hamas, and they were totally corrupt. The nations of the world just didn't want to accept the Torah, which is seemingly... But at the same time, it seems like they were there for, again, to be deserving of the flood. So then, right, that's what sounds like is going to happen. So then the question is, oh, so then if that's the case, then how exactly does the Jews accept the Torah, right? And that's a good question also. Maybe we should start there. Start trying to answer something here. But why was He going to destroy the whole world? Because they weren't going to accept the Torah. What is that? Why is that? Right?
That's the Rashi and Bereishis, the Bishvil Bereishis. The whole world was created for the purpose of the Torah.
Okay.
So if not for somebody keeping the Torah, there's really no purpose for the world, you might as well destroy it.
Okay, good. The world has an objective, which is to have Torah, which is to have a system whereby man has access to knowledge, truth, a proper life, knowledge of God, relating to God. God didn't make a world to have a bunch, at least the humans, to just have a bunch of intelligent animals. But He set up a world for mankind to be able to function as mankind, to be able to live a life of Chachma, a life of Avodas Hashem, which is exemplified in Torah. Right? And if no one in the world, if no human being is interested in doing so, so then you might as well drown the whole world. That wasn't the purpose. That wasn't what He was creating. That wasn't the purpose. The objective of the Torah, that's good, the Rashi in the beginning, is because of the Torah. Because that's the objective. So now if nobody's interested, so that's it. So start again or whatever. Or end it, not start again, whatever it is.
The other part of that Rashi is that people try to say that Eretz Yisrael doesn't belong to the Jewish people. And we have the answer right here.
Right. That's a little different, right?
When Hashem created the world, that He can decide Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish.
That's true. Yes, definitely. Okay, good. So now, what about the question? Is I guess that's Yael's question. So now, why is it that now that the Jews accept the Torah, does that save everybody?
Well, I think it's once you have people accepting the Torah, I think. At least ideally, the world becomes a different place. It's not like, oh, the Jews are in like one corner keeping the Torah and everybody else is living as they were. Like, it shouldn't be, you're saying must be part of it. Be accessible now. There's like stuff going on.
Right.
Right.
The world that has like a purpose, like the Jews can like, teach other people, be like the nations.
Exactly. So if the Jews really would just be doing their own thing. Then you're right, they want to don't save everybody else, let the Jews do their own thing, everybody else is a lost cause. But no, that's not what Torah is. Torah was designed to take a nation, to make it a mamaskan of Engai Kadosh, to show it, to have it live a life which will embody the ideas, the ideals, the principles of the Torah, and to teach those to the world. And the Torah, when it's functioning properly, services the world at large. Like we daven for Yom HaMashiach, where the whole world will recognize Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Melech, Malchus HaVakol Mashallah, right? That's the ultimate eschatological vision of the Torah, and that's the way the Torah is supposed to function. So, the world could be saved via Klal Yisrael living this proper life and teaching the world, right? So it has effects on the world. Yeah, the world becomes a different place when the Jews keep the Torah. Right. Now, but at the same time, it's interesting because it seems like ideally, I'm not sure, you tell me what you think, that the nations would have been keeping the Torah also. Right? Is it like one nation would have been a different nation? That's a good question. It says he's looking for another nation. Is it pshat that one of the other nations would have become what the Jews are doing? Or in theory, he was giving it to everybody. And Talavai, everybody should be able to keep the Torah mitzvahs. And that would be the greatest, if everybody could do that. It's just that it wasn't that way. They weren't interested in doing that. And the world, therefore, was going to... Nobody can have a world. If everybody keeps it, great. But then he gave the Jews, and the Jews made it worthwhile. Right?
I always thought it was that way.
Which way?
That ideally everyone would keep it. That's why I always thought it was funny when they teach the kids at school how, like, Hashem went around to each nation and surveyed them.
Right.
I thought it was the other way always. Yeah. Ideally, there's one nation that, like, serves as the, you know, paradigm for everyone, but not everybody has to continue the system. You know, the ideas will be perpetuated through one nation.
See, I thought that that's, like, Bidyevid. In the Bidyevid case where not everyone's going to keep it, then you still have to have a demonstration being made to the world.
Oh, I see.
Well, what's the idea of that Goyim are specifically not allowed to keep Shabbos? Like,
that's a different topic. It's a good question, but it's not bringing up Shabbos, so they are allowed to keep all the other mitzvahs, right? Mm-hmm. Or most of the other mitzvahs. So that's right.
So they're allowed to keep the other mitzvahs without converting.
Yes. Yeah, it says Nana Mitzvavosa. Right, just like, for instance, a woman's allowed to do a mitzvah shesh on grandma without, you know...
So they would be allowed to keep kashrus.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So I thought the whole idea of, like, Zman HaMashiach would be that, like, the world will acknowledge God and...
Yes, but not that they'll necessarily keep Tariq mitzvahs, but that they'll live a life of Torah, values of Torah, but not necessarily that they're going to keep the 613 mitzvahs. They may, if they want to convert and do that, but they don't have to. They could just, you know.
That's what I thought was the initial plan for the world, too. That, like...
It's not clear. It's interesting. I mean, that's what it sounds like originally. God wanted mankind to know these ideas. So given that there's no nation who's doing it, then in theory, it's going to have to be everybody, each individual is going to have to be following these ideas and living this type of a life because that's all they got. But when you had a nation as a... Maybe as you're saying, because once a nation as a whole took it upon themselves to be the Mamlachskan of Engai Kadosh. So maybe that's just saying then it permits the other nations to say, okay, we'll just look at the Jews. But like without a nation as a whole, let's say before you had a nation, just individuals. In theory, every individual's measure of their worth would be by the degree which they're able to accept the ideas of the Torah and to live by these ideas. I know what it would look like. Maybe it would be a different, you know, because the Torah is designed for Israel, but like it could be that wouldn't have been the Torah, but you could have imagined a different world where the world knowledge is accessible to everybody and every person decides if they want to follow this life or not, and if you do, then you're worthwhile, and if you don't, then you're not worthwhile. And everybody's saying, no, we're not interested. Well, then God's going to drown the whole world. So that plan, so to speak, didn't work. That type of a plan, give it to everybody, and whoever wants to do it, whoever doesn't want to do it, don't do it. Didn't work. They were all not doing it. And that's what I'm saying, God was going to destroy the world. So then it's like he made a different plan. The plan was... He gave it to a nation. And once he gave it to a nation, and the Jewish nation said, we're willing to be your nation. So then, then he permitted the nations. Now the nations of the world no longer have to do this. Rather, they could look to the Jew as their teacher. The Jews should be living the life of Torah, accepting upon themselves the mitzvahs, the restrictions, the rewards, the benefits, the punishments, the whole oppressed. And now the nations of the world gain their right to live through the fact they recognize the Jew as the one who's teaching them, and they could live their life. They don't have to do the mitzvahs. They could look to the Jew, and they could study and learn about how to live from the model which the Jew represents. As God, you know, as they accepted that. The Jew accepted to be that nation. And of course, if we're functioning properly, if we're not functioning properly, as we were talking about last time, is that in Eretz Yisrael, if we're not functioning properly, it's hard for it to work. But that's about an ideal, I'm talking about like an ideal plan. Okay, so then he permitted them to not do it. Right? Okay, so I think we're ready, unless we have further questions, we're ready to transition now to the mashal and to kind of the issue at hand, which is why they don't keep the mitzvahs, right? Is there a question before we get to that? How are we doing there on the telephone?
Okay.
Good.
Like the Kosh Baruch Hu created Adam Harishon, and like people, and I'm like, that didn't work. And like, then there was like a Mabul. Then he had Noah, and the Shiva Smiths were named Noah, right. And like, that also didn't work. And like, mankind couldn't keep up with these ideas. And then there was Abraham, and he was a unique individual from, like, Kosh Baruch Hu promised him that his descendants would get a system that would allow the ideas that he had recognized and he had taught to be like codified and continue forward through the generations. So like, what is this talking about? Like, what is this talking about?
Yeah, like, what happened?
I mean, I know it's a medrash, but like,
Avraham Avinu served the
same
Chol, like, so he wasn't keeping
track. Yeah, but there hadn't been Avraham Avinu, this wouldn't have been a question. I don't know.
Well, I think it's saying is, I mean, even with Avraham Avinu, without, even if you'd have an Avraham Avinu, but you wouldn't have Har Sinai?
Would you have had Har Sinai without Avraham Avinu?
No. No, but you could have had Avraham Avinu without Har Sinai.
Right.
So it's saying is, it's talking about, like, I don't really think it's necessarily talking about a chronological history of what happened as much as a conceptual analysis of the appropriate ways in which the world could have been stable. Existed, and so to speak, in God's mind. That plan, maybe like historically, that plan wasn't working. After the Mabul, for example, the world at large went to Avodah Zarah very quickly, and Avraham Avinu did it, but it wasn't going to work. Even with Avraham Avinu, Yaakov, and Yaakov, that plan itself was not going to last in the long term.
Right.
That was going to become the same thing, was going to devolve eventually into the world at large going on their own path. It just wasn't going to work.
Right.
And the only thing which was going to work was, you know, was Torah. It's basically saying is if it would have Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and no Maamar Har Sinai, no Yitzchak Mitzrayim, no Nisan, none of that, no nation, then it would have become like another model. And the saying is that's what God is going to, so to speak, and that's why he made the plan of Torah. That's why, you know, there was Matan Torah.
Okay.
Right? I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, I guess Avram, that was revealed to Avram, that was the plan. That was the whole plan in the first place because of this. Because the world at large wasn't willing to. If, so to speak, the world at large was willing to say, listen, we're going to accept the ideas. So we want to live a life of Moses Hashem. Let's say after the Mabul. After the Mabul, they saw, whoa, God is a God. He's just. He wants us to live a certain way. Let's understand that. Let's, as a world, band together, and not every single individual, but as a world, let's unify under the banner of Malchus Hashem. Then you wouldn't have necessarily had to have the Torah in one nation. But that, it wasn't working. It wasn't going to work. It didn't work for many years. It wasn't going to work. Hashem deemed that wasn't going to happen. And therefore, Lule, if not for the Jews, if the Jews, so to speak, said, you know what? They didn't say Nasa Benishma, but they said, you know what, Torah seems a lot. We're not really interested in doing it. I mean, Habakhira, I guess, I mean, that's a question, Harkigigas, whatever. But Lutzor, they said we're not interested, then the only other plan would have been let individuals try to get it, and that would not have worked. The world would have been flooded. So it's saying, so to speak, Klal Yisrael saved the world. Because as a nation, the world at large can't do it. But a nation was able to do it. Not any nation, only one nation stepped to the plate. Yeah, arguably because we were built upon the values of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, but that's that they, we serve a function for the world. Okay, did I answer your question, Esty?
Yeah.
Okay, so now the question is, so what's the mashal of the doctor, and what's the nimshal, right? So let's just start with the mashal. Okay? So what's the sense of the mashal? In the mashal's world, what's the interpretation? It's plain simple, right? What's the doctor? The doctor, basically, two patients. One of them, the doctor said, eat whatever you want. The other one said, eat this in a strict diet. What's the deal? Oh, because he's dying. And you're living, right? So why is it that, so doing so, I'm just going to explain that. Forget the mashal, forget the nimshal. I'm just playing. What's the basic idea to take from the mashal?
Well, someone's has a chance to live, then you want to do as much as you can to like encourage their health. But if someone's going to die anyway, I guess there isn't going to be any effect of them eating healthy food because they're going to die anyway. Right. So you can just say, okay, so there's like, you know, you may as well just eat.
Right. Right. Might as well eat what you enjoy. Have a good life.
Who would enjoy eating schatzim and shratzim and, like, I don't even understand that.
Well, we're anyway. Still, there's no schatzim in this story. We're just in the mashal for now.
Yeah, it says, the mashal itself.
Let's understand the mashal first. We'll talk about the nimshal in a second, okay? So in the mashal, right, he's saying is, eat to your heart's content. Whatever you want to eat. The person who's on the deathbed, let's say a doctor knows, a guy has terminal cancer, that's it. Right? So, I mean, unless it's going to have short-term repercussions, but if it's not going to be short-term repercussions, it's not going to say, listen, eat what you want, smoke cigarettes, do whatever, it doesn't matter, I might as well enjoy yourself. Why would you not enjoy yourself? What's the point? What was the point of putting yourself, controlling yourself to not eat? Again, unless it's going to exacerbate your condition in the short term, which may or may not be the case, I'm sure sometimes it's, sometimes it isn't, may as well enjoy yourself. There's no point in health. And eating healthy, if you know that you're not going to make it, it's not a value in its own right. The value is because it's going to help promote your health and help you live longer and give you a good life. So a person who's sick and there's a good chance they're going to live, the doctor's going to give very strict orders. Don't eat this, don't eat that. Such a strict diet. The doctor's being so tough on him because that's what's going to promote life and it's going to allow him to pull through it. But a person, the doctor's not going to give those orders to a person who's dying. On the contrary. Right? That makes sense. Okay, so now somehow it's applying that to Torah. Right? So what's the... And it's trying to answer that question, right? Why the nations don't have these rules, right? So what's the idea? Why not just tell the guy to eat kosher also?
They have mortal illness.
They have mortal illness. Okay, good. So
apparently it wouldn't help them.
Okay, apparently it wouldn't help them. Okay, good. Why?
Certainly without the system, they're not
going to
be helped
by
one.
Right. Okay.
The benefits will be lost on them, maybe.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's what
I wanted. Right. Right. I mean, it's not going to be of value to take a guy who's living like a guy, like a whatever, right? Not a life of whatever, of Torah mitzvahs, not a life of the ultimate values of the Torah. And just to say, you know what, why don't you just try to eat kosher? Just don't eat, you know, meat and milk, don't eat pig. That's not, it doesn't, that mitzvah, or these mitzvahs, they're not designed to function like in a vacuum, in isolation. Just to restrain yourself, it will be painful, because they'll have to restrain themselves, but that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is designed as a piece of the life of a Jew. The life of a Jew is the life of Avodas Hashem, which involves restraining your instincts, directing them towards Chachma. The whole life of the Torah is a multifaceted puzzle with different parts which lead towards, you know, creating the life of the Jew. And the mitzvahs of eating kosher are very beneficial in the context of a larger system.
But it doesn't work for like the banana.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's like just to take. I'm not sure. It's a good question for Ben Noach, but let's ignore a high level Ben Noach for now. Let's just take your average guy. You have your employee at work. Would you encourage your employee at work, your employee or your fellow employee at work, to say, you know what? I think it would be nice for you to try to eat kosher. Right? You say, what's the point? I'll say, look, I like eating pork. I like eating meat and milk. I like cheeseburgers. But you know, if you think it'll be good for me, I won't eat cheeseburgers. You say, no, that's pointless. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to help you. Let's say he said, hey, I'm considering not stealing. I'm considering stopping to steal. and not to be cheating on my wife or whatever, sleeping with another married woman. You say, is that a good idea? Would you advise me to do that? You say, yeah, you'd have a better life if you could keep Shabbat Mitzvah. Right? That's a good idea. That's intrinsically good for every human being to not steal, to be involved in the Shabbat Mitzvah. But now you want to know, should I eat kosher? Should I take a lulav on whatever isolated mitzvah? So the thing is, in general, no. That's not what these mitzvahs are designed to. So now, what would it do for a guy if he restrained himself from eating kosher? From whatever, from eating treif?
It would just be not necessary restriction.
Exactly. It would be like a Jew saying, I'm not going to eat fruit. What do you mean? Hashem gave you fruit. Why don't you enjoy the fruit? Hashem doesn't want you to have pain and suffering. Hashem gave the world. It would be like a person on his deathbed not eating candy. Because why not? What's the doctor doing? He's trying to prevent him from enjoying himself. The thing is, Hashem doesn't want to prevent the person from enjoying himself. He wants the Jew to live a life of Kedusha. And the live a life of Kedusha comes about through Kashrus and through many other things, through the entire life of the Torah. And that's what's necessary to set up the Matzkanamikai Kadosh. And it's great for us. But not in isolation. So the thing is, why are Goyim allowed to eat all these things if they want? If they want to eat Shkatzim or Masim, which apparently some people at sometimes do and whatever, or they want to eat pig, or they want to eat this. Because why not? The Jews, that's the thing, is once, before Matan Torah, if there's no nation, well then you're going to have this disciplined type of a life. This is the life, the only plan the Torah has for you. But now that the Torah is set up Am Yisrael, and Am Yisrael are the ones who perpetuate these ideas, now as an individual guy, you could live a life of control, you could live an, arguably, even a Ben Noach. Like, I don't know, as a Ben Noach could say, look, I'm going to live a life of control, I'm going to diet, I'm going to direct my energies towards learning, but what do I need to eat to not eat pig? If I'm going to eat pig, let me eat pig. But I'm going to learn with the rabbi, and he's going to teach me the idea of a life of moderation, and I'm going to do that, but I'm not going to follow this exact system. So maybe that's fine, because he'll learn from the Jew the ideas. The ideas are maintained in the world through the Jew, and he studies those ideas, and he tries to incorporate those ideas as he sees fit. There is an idea of a guy doing him as an mitzvah, so that's a good question, when a guy would want to do such a thing or not. Maybe there is a benefit in isolating, I don't know. Good question.
He learned the ideas, right?
What?
He learned the ideas, and he understood what it was, and he said, I want to...
Yeah, and he saw, I can't create my own system of restrictions. I don't know how to do that, so I'm just going to lean on the Torah system. But it's like a different... That's not necessarily the ideal. No one's going to say you should do that. You could just study the ideas through the Jew. Study what does it mean to live a life of ideas and a life of moderation, and you could see... We keep kosher to maintain that concept that life in moderation is good. And now the world sees it through it all, so they don't necessarily have to do that.
Maybe not to the extreme of conscious. That's
my point. To be moderate, have a life in moderation, yes, that is. But the idea of the mitzvah, the halachic mitzvah, you can have a life in moderation without keeping kosher. You could just have the ideals of a life in moderation. You don't have to follow the halachic system and the, what?
You don't have to check your lettuce.
Yeah, sure, right, exactly. All the details of it. Right.
Your man once gave a shiur on this on kashrus, and he was saying how that the specific foods that are forbidden, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with them.
Yeah, right.
Because you can see there's a gemara that says that if somebody's starving, they can. You feed the soldiers who are
in war, you're
allowed to feed them treif, and also there's some pasuk that says a pig's necks are a delicacy or something good. And so those are indications that there's nothing intrinsically wrong with a non-kosher animal.
Right, exactly.
It's just a system that is supposed to teach higher education. If you just arbitrarily taking parts of it as...
You're right. That's not how it's designed to function. Yes. Good. Yeah. Okay, so are we good? Any questions? Have we left that pending?
Wait, so can you just read through the story now and just explain it? I still just didn't follow the whole...
Okay. Yes, okay. Before I do that, is there any other question on the phone? So, by the way, Shemosh Alon Leimar, Lazos Achashev Tachlis, Zeh Shemar Kasev, Tamar Be'emodar Atzoy. For this is what it means, the Pasuk saying, is that he stood and measured the world, and he saw and he permitted the Goyim. What does it mean? The time when Hashem wanted to give the Torah to the Jews, he stood and measured the world, and he gave them the Torah in public. Okay? So what does that mean? Now I think it's going to explain. So that's why it says he stood and he measured the world. What does that mean? That God wanted to return the world to the measurement of the water. As the Pasuk says, he measured I don't know exactly what that means. But he wanted, I think it means he wanted to destroy the world, basically, to flood the world. And once the Jewish nation didn't keep the Torah, didn't accept it, the world would have actually was gone. It was on its route to doing that. If not for the fact the Jews accepted the Torah, right? Once they accepted it, the world was tranquil. And from there, not they took their exemption. He saw and he exempted the Goyim, permitted them.
So that
was a result of Klal Yisrael accepting the Torah and becoming also going to those. Now the world doesn't have to do it anymore because they could use the learn through the Jews. What does it mean? He hit their line. He didn't permit them. He martyred them, those prohibitions. Mashmallah Doma to the doctor, right? And fine. And then that continues the whole mashal. So then it says, V'kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too with God, Yitur Lahem V'Goyim HaShkatz V'Ramasim, he allowed them to have them. Al V'Yisrael Shem Chal Chayim, the Jews have to live a life of Chayim. Amar V'Yisrael Kedoshim, Ki Kedoshani, Al Tekshom Seichem, Esa Tochu, Esa Lo Tochu, Esa Tamam, and Esam, all these different mitzvahs. Why? Lama Shem L'Chayim? Because they have to have a life. They have to be l'chaim in order to have the perfection of Atem Avigam Hashem L'chaim Kocham Hayom. To have that life, you have to have all the Torah mitzvahs. So Torah set up a very intricate, rigorous, detailed system with all the mitzvahs in order to maintain their chiyus, their life of Kedusha before Hashem. But the Goyim not, they don't need to. Right? And this is what it means. Amar Be'ma Dar Aretz Rav Yatakai.
The whole system, the individual mitzvahs, even though they have a beneficial effect, in the context of the system, we're not given to the Goyim because
they don't benefit them, right? In isolation, right? Be like a guy who decides to keep Shabbos, let's say. You know, a lot of Goyim admire Shabbos at a distance, you know, but you're going to keep Shabbos. So what are you going to do? So you're not going to do Malach on Shabbos, you're not going to be texting, you know, okay, so now what? So like, it's great, it's partially good, whatever, but like, so what are they going to do? Like, it's not. The Torah is a whole life. It's a multifaceted life. You can't just rip off one mitzvah. You want to be a Jew, be a Jew. But just to take an isolated mitzvah that the Jew has and to start emulating that, that's not the way the Torah isn't designed in that manner. Some mitzvahs are isolated, I'm saying that there are, but not the system at large. And not details, not particular mitzvahs. Good? Alright, any questions there on the phone?
Sarah,
yes, Sarah.
You mentioned before that it sounded like a Rishus
midrash,
right?
Like what?
The answer to, like a Rishus,
yes,
midrash.
Right.
Was the answer to that the Jews just stepped up to the plate and accepted?
Yes.
And that's why we have this. Okay.
Yeah, right. The Jews are the nation who stepped up and wanted it, and the nations didn't want it. And they don't want it. Like, if you tell them now, I mean, do you want to have the Torah mitzvahs? I mean, like I'm saying, it's like they, whether they historically went to them, God knew they weren't going to accept it. When it was given, they didn't decide to join. Right now, they're still not deciding to join. Yeah, it's not racist to say it's because of the Kabbalah, of the Jews of the Torah, that they were willing to do it, and they took on that role, that they have this place. If the guy wants to, then fine, but the guy aren't. They're not living that life. Right, so it's not a racist, it's like because of who you are. This is because of your decision. That's not racist, that's just based upon the, you know, decisions you make. There's benefits, you know. There's a reality to the life that you live, that you decide to live. Good?
Okay, thanks. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.